This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
And welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle, the con man. Yes, he's here, keeping us on track. And we're your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you want to get a hold of us, please do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, the Talent Grid is our group. Apply there. We're just connecting everybody with great information. The world of performance is at your fingertips. All you have to do is go onto Facebook, type in the Talent Grid, ask to join, we'll let you in. We got a great little community going there. Today, we're going to start our look into performance cultures and performance environments. We're going to look at various organizations that are outperforming the competition or just doing a fantastic job of developing young athletes and young talent and then creating great opportunities for that young talent as they move forward. If you know any organizations, teams, schools, organizations that are creating talent or outperforming the competition, or have just had incredible turnarounds, let us know. We want to contact those organizations and maybe touch base with them to see what's making them tick. Get in behind the scenes. That's what this mission is all about, and we're really going to kick it off in the new year as we focus in on some incredible organizations who are doing some very interesting things in developing talent and opportunities for the talent they're producing. But I wanted to start the conversation now. Listen, coming off of this great World Series in Major League Baseball, looking at the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians and all the great teams that went into the playoffs and the storylines over the year, I had to start this conversation now. So today, we're going to look at a couple of organizations that have done just that, outperformed their competition or just created an environment where talent development has been one of their specialties, has set them apart from maybe other organizations in their genre. We're going to visit with the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball in Alberta, Canada. We will talk with Les McTavish, the head coach and director of operations there. And we're going to talk with Mike Gabonet, former head coach of the Nate Oakes collegiate hockey team from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. He's now the associate coach with Nebraska Omaha. The Oakes last year went 36-0. Now listen, I don't care what sport you're playing. I don't care what sport or what level you're at. Anytime you have an undefeated season, that's incredibly special. And I want to get behind the scenes of what happened with the Nate Oakes last year to go 36-0 in collegiate hockey. And listen, this is a tough league. There's great hockey players and great teams here. So to go 36-0, you know there is something special going on behind the scenes there. And we're going to try to get a look at that today as we talk with Mike. And when we look at these great organizations and try to find out what makes them tick, we know people are one of the number one priorities, one of the number one things that makes them tick. But in order for people to be successful, we have to have a culture, an environment that allows them to be successful. And that comes from leadership. Listen, every single successful organization, it's like a spinal cord. It comes from the top down. They're built from the top down. But accountability goes both ways. The ownership, leadership, coaching, general manager has to hold the entire organization accountable, put the right people in the right place. But in order for those people to be successful, they have to hold management accountable for providing the environment and the tools they need in order to be successful, creating that environment. It's a two-way street. It doesn't just run uphill and it doesn't just run downhill. It's back and forth. And that's important to keep in mind. Inside of those cultures, we know there's special people involved as well. You can look at just about every single performance organization and performance culture out there, and there's a special person or a special group of people that's making it happen. And when we talk with Mike Gabonet later in the show, we're going to ask him about mentorship and people who have influenced him over his career. Mike is the grandson of the great Claire Drake, the most successful inter-university men's hockey coach in Canadian sport history. What did Grandpa pass on to Mike? We'll ask him about that for sure, because we know that leadership, mentorship, coaching, teaching, and even parenting are all important when it comes to developing performance cultures. And that brings us to our question of the day. Hey, if you have an answer, if you want to get in touch with us, do so on Twitter. You can get to us on the website, Crush Performance, or on Facebook. But here's just a question, some food for thought. Think about it, contemplate it, discuss it, or let us know what you think. What is the most important factor in building a performance organization? Is it technology? Is it finances and money available and the ability to invest and build? Is it products? Is it science? You let us know. What do you think? What is the most important factor in building a performance organization? There's a lot of things that come into play here, but when we look back at the organizations who've been successful, I think we see some common themes. And again, that's kind of what this series is going to be about. In January, as I mentioned, we're really going to kick this off. We're going to spend a lot of time over the course of 2017 looking at successful cultures and organizations and trying to find out what makes them tick so you can help your organization, or when you're looking for an organization to get involved in, you can sort of vet it out to see if it's a place you want to be. And they're out there. Those organizations that continually outperform the competition or who are renowned for developing great talent. And it's not by chance. When you see an organization, a club, or a team outperforming the competition time and time again, or turning a corner, going from a history of failure and doom and gloom to success and continued success time and time again, that is not chance. You can be guaranteed there's something going on behind the scenes that's very planned, very orchestrated, and very deliberate. Very deliberate attempts at creating success. And if you look around, you could see them. Take, for example, the great business cultures in recent history that have set the standard for performance and quality. You could look at companies like Abbott Laboratories or Gillette or Walgreens. You could look at the computer industry and talk about Microsoft, Google, and Apple. In sport, you might look at, on the business side, an organization like MLB Advanced Media. Just Google MLB Advanced Media and find out what that business is all about. It's incredible. As a matter of fact, almost every other professional organization is turning to MLB to tap into that platform of generating awareness business, but getting their product to the consumer. It's the best out there. And that's a classic example of planned and orchestrated deliberate performance. It's unbelievable the value they've developed there. You could also look at some of the great sporting franchises that have set the standard for excellence, you know, in their respective sports. Take Real Madrid, for example, or in the NFL, you could look at the Dallas Cowboys. In baseball, you would talk about the New York Yankees. Soccer, again, you'd talk about Barcelona, the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA, Detroit Red Wings, you'd talk about in the NHL, the New England Patriots. It goes on, but you see these organizations who have a history of success, a storied history, some of them, and some of them you may even refer to as dynasties. And around the world, and we've seen this documented time and time again in some of the recent literature, there are these great little pockets of talent development that are just incredible in some of the most unsuspecting areas. You're seeing this unbelievable talent development. You could look at the tennis program in Serbia that has produced more top 20 players than the entire United States of America. Now, this is a rundown little club that's really nothing special, but they have an incredible approach to long-term development for tennis players, and they also don't let their tennis players compete until they're truly ready, until they've mastered a skill set that will allow them to then go on, take the competition to other heights. Interesting approach there. You could look at Korea's Golf Academy, who's produced more than 40% of the top women's golfers. This one area in the world has produced 40% of the top women's golfers. You could look at things like Kenya's Fila Running School. Well, enough said there. When you look at the Kenyan marathon runners, they dominate the sport. The Wharton School of Business developed some of the best business minds in history. Juilliard in music. The Racers Track Club in Kingston, Jamaica. Well, enough said there. Usain Bolt. And today we're going to talk to another one of those little talent beds, the Vauxhall High School Academy of Baseball. They have a scholarship placement percentage that is second to none. So these organizations are out there, and I just want you to know that it's not by chance. There's something going on behind the scenes here that is incredibly deliberate, incredibly organized, that's allowing them to succeed time and time and time again. And we want to find out what's making them tick. So again, if you know of an organization that's doing this, creating great talent, or just outperforming the competition, let us know. We have our list of organizations we're getting in touch with, but if you have some that you think might be worthy of a conversation, let us know. We're going to get in touch with them. We're going to try to get them on the air to find out what is making them tick. So that said, coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Les McTavish, the head coach and director of operations for the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball in this little farming town in the middle of Alberta, Canada. They're producing baseball players like nowhere else in the planet. Later in the show, we're going to talk to the head coach of a collegiate hockey team that went 36-0 to find out what made that team tick. There's a lot to be learned here, I have a feeling. Stick around. We're going to get into it after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. We're your weekly source for sport performance information. Today, we are talking about performance environments. If you want to get to us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, do it. On the internet, crushperformance.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, we have a great group called The Talent Grid. Go there, sign up. We'll let you in and we'll connect you with all the great information. The podcasts are there. We have people posting. We've got a great little community growing there and it's been a ton of fun. Look, coming off the World Series, we had to talk about, you know, performance environments, looking at the Cubs and the Indians. The Indians, again, were not even on my radar at the start of the Major League Baseball season, but boy, oh boy, they put together something special. And of course, everybody, I think, in all of sport was watching the Cubs with interest. And whenever we have an organization that either turns it around or continually outperforms the competition, everybody looks to see what's going on inside, trying to figure out the formula, or at least trying to learn a few things that you might be able to apply to your organization or to the way you go about your business. So going into the new year, what we're going to do is start looking at great performance cultures. And we're going to try to talk to people within those organizations and within those cultures to find out what's making them tick, to find out what we can learn about high performance, successful cultures. So if you know of a team or an organization that's continually outperforming the competition, let us know. You can message us on Twitter. You can get us on the internet or through email, crushperformance.com, or you can also message us on Facebook. Go to the Talent Grid. So if you know of an organization that has outperformed the competition or continually succeeded or turned it around, maybe they've just turned a corner, kind of like the Cubs, or, you know, we've watched the Kansas City Royals for a long time. We're watching the Edmonton Oilers this year in the NHL. If you have an organization at any level, sport, business, let us know and we'll try to get in touch with them. We're going to try to look inside these great organizations to see what's making them tick. And right now we're going to look at the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball in Alberta, Canada. This organization has not only done a fantastic job in developing great young baseball players, it's also set an unprecedented record for creating opportunity, whether it be through scholarship to any level of college or signing pro or even opportunities with the Canadian national team. And joining us right now to talk about the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball is the head coach and director of operations, Les McTavish. Les, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Crusher. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, we're talking successful cultures, development cultures, and if there's one thing that we know about Vauxhall, you guys have really put something special together in this small little town in the middle of potato farming country in southern Alberta, Les. A real special program. Players have been coming across from across the country to attend the program, and you guys are going into your 11th year. Congratulations on all this success.
Thanks, Crusher. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of hard work over 11 years, and we've had a great staff to move forward with things. And you know, it certainly drove the vehicle for success.
Well, when we talk about developing successful cultures, Les, this is maybe the epitome of a developmental culture. You guys have players grade 10, 11, and 12, and you guys will have them anywhere from 3 years, 2 years, or 1 year, depending on where they're at in their education. And you take that opportunity to help prepare them for the next level of baseball based on where they're at and where they want to go.
Yeah, no, we do. We would recruit just like a college would. We try to have a nice returning base of athletes. So we don't want to be too young or too old. And a big part of that is trying to carry on the culture that we started 11 years ago. And, now we're at the point that, the players that have been there for 1 or 2 years continue to drive the ship and make sure things operate properly, when coaches or staff aren't around, to continue to operate a high-performance program, not only on the field, but probably more importantly in today's world is off the field.
If we go back 11 years, Les, as this thing was getting put together, what was the mindset going in? I know that the idea was to, help boost the population of the school there in the small town of Vauxhall. But in terms of developing baseball players, I think you guys had a really unique approach. It's been incredibly successful.
Well, you go back 11 years, and when I got hired to coach the ball club or to help lead the program, we wanted to take a different approach. We wanted to do two things. We wanted to take the three-pillar approach based on academics, athletics, and community involvement. But more importantly, rather than hiring a whole bunch of baseball coaches, we wanted to add the whole performance model. So we, with the strength and conditioning coach, with the sports psychologist, with the athletic therapist, we tried to involve ourselves in the community with the senior center and the elementary school. And that was really, really early on in the infancy of the program was to completely take the baseball model, but to try to expand its horizons as much as we possibly could. And, we've always been really open-minded to trying to make our program better, whether it's, now we have a full-time residence and we have a cook on staff, and, we just got a grant to use a nutritionist to start looking at the nutrition component. But, you go around and around, and the biggest thing that we always try to do is to try to be innovative and trying to learn new things and trying to figure out what's going to make kids better. And and certainly we claim to not know everything, and if we don't know something, we'll either try to hire somebody to help us educate us on it or try to research it ourselves, whether it's a visual training program or the nutrition. Everything continues to evolve and change as we move forward, and every year we set a goal to try to be a little bit better than the year prior, and it doesn't have to be with results on the field, but more importantly, how we're developing athletes and in particular, student-athletes in the baseball.
We're talking with Les McTavish, the head coach for the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball. Les, it's been interesting. You guys have had incredible success over the years in terms of your graduation rate, the scholarship rate. We could talk about pro signings and also the number of players who've had a chance to play on the national team, a real exciting program. And I will say this for a fact, a lot of those athletes would not have had that success if it wasn't for the organization that you guys have put together there. And maybe talk to the success rate of this incredible program here, because, I've had a chance to travel the world with Major League Baseball, and I don't think there's another academy that has the success rate in terms of creating future opportunities for young players as Vauxhall does.
Well, I appreciate the kind comments. We've tried really hard. When players come to Vauxhall, we don't give them a guarantee that they're going to go on to college baseball or Team Canada or professional baseball, but we do tell them that if they put the work in on and off the field, in the classroom, and probably more importantly than anything with us is the classroom. If you take care of your business in the classroom, then you take care of business in the weight room, then you take care of business with the mental game. The baseball, a lot of times, will take care of itself. Where we're unique in developing some of those athletes is we only have 22 players, and they push each other. So, certainly when you come to Vauxhall, you're usually not the best player on the team, so you're always getting pushed to be a little bit better, and they're all competing, in a sense, for the same scholarship dollar with every other academy in Canada or every other high school program in the United States. So that can be a real powerful tool, pushing each other on the peer side of things. We have been fortunate. We've had close to 50 players with the Canadian Junior National Team over the years. Five currently on our roster right now. There was five players down with the Junior National Program in Florida over the past or last month in October. And we've had well over 90%, 95% of our athletes move on to college baseball. And there's seven levels of college baseball. It's just because you don't play Division One at UCLA or Florida State doesn't mean you're unsuccessful. There's lots of different areas, lots of different levels based on your academics and your athletics. And we try to find that right fit. And, our goal with every college that we reach out to is we try to under-promise and over-deliver. And that's certainly provided a good vehicle for success over the years.
Les, when I look at the program in Vauxhall, one of the things that's always intrigued me is the community involvement and the stress you guys have put on that from day one. This is a small community. These players are coming in from all different parts of the country and around the world, as a matter of fact. And they now have to integrate into this small, tiny community where everybody knows everybody. And the way you've gone about, integrating that and getting the kids and players involved in the community, I think has been great. And anytime you guys are playing, to see the number of people coming out to watch the team play, I think that has a lot to do with it. Just a tremendous approach. How important has that been in the success of the overall program and also the development of the players?
Well, I think it's critical. And I think development of the players is one thing, but even on the community side, we have 22 players moving into a small town. So, I understand and respect where students and or families within the Vauxhall community, will be skeptical at times of the players coming in. So we always use the example of Derek Jeter in New York City. Everybody and anybody knew who Derek Jeter was, and he was watched with a microscope. And we try to tell our guys in Vauxhall, that's exactly how, if you ever play on TV and make a lot of money, the microscope and everybody knowing your business and everybody knowing everything you do is essentially like being a baseball player, Vauxhall. At times you can be put on a pedestal, but that pedestal comes with expectations. And it certainly has helped with the development model. And that community involvement, it started 11 years ago. We had a lot of people that were involved that were adamant to get involved with the community. Every second week, the boys, certain number of our players go and spend time with the senior citizens at the senior center, playing shuffleboard or crib or pool, or just spending time with some seniors in the community and maybe helping them with their groceries in an evening. And then we've taken that to the next level with multiple different events and or activities with the junior high program and into the elementary school. We currently have players involved with the mentorship program, so they mentor a youth at risk in the elementary school and spend time with somebody every week. And it certainly helped our players grow up, and it makes them appreciate the little things and the opportunities that they've had being part of our program.
We're talking with Les McTavish, the head coach and director of operations for the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball. Les, it's interesting, the sporting landscape today. There's a lot of concern over the way sport is going in terms of pay-to-play, specialization, and seasons, going year-round. Vauxhall is a very different scenario because we're dealing with players who are at an age where they're committed to baseball. They've gone through the developmental years. But, there's been some interesting talk in the baseball world and in development sport in general about the number of injuries we're seeing due to specialization in sport. And if we look at last year's Major League draft, amateur draft, the number of players who've already had Tommy John or shoulder surgeries was astronomical. I believe the highest number in history. So just looking at the players that you recruit and going around seeing, have you seen a trend in your recruiting and in the players that are coming into Vauxhall?
You certainly have. I'll tell you, we do have more arm injuries than we have had in the past, and it has to have something to do with overuse. It has to have something, and maybe not overuse week to week or month to month or even within a season, but having very limited downtime at the same time being engulfed with baseball. I'm fortunate my boys are into competitive baseball, and they're 11 and turn 13 today, actually. And I see it at their level. If you aren't doing baseball or training for some baseball, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 months of the year, it seems like kids fall behind. And, you know, baseball, I think we forget in baseball, it's a late developing sport. And there is a ton of baseball athletes, especially in Canada, who don't get to a high performance level at 10 or 11. They may be 13, 14, and 15 before they get to that highest level. Adam Nepovich from Spruce Grove is a great example. He was not a high performance baseball player. He started with the Honda Hit Run and Throw, I believe, in the early teens, 11, 12, 13 years of age, and had never really played the game. But it played lots of other sports. And a short time later, 5 years later, he's playing the Canadian national team, get drafted, and gets a Division I scholarship. So it is scary. I think it is certainly scary. And I think that also being said, with the science today and the strength of kids and adults today, guys are throwing harder and harder and harder. And maybe our bodies aren't meant to throw as hard as Chapman was last night or Chapman has been in the playoffs. But there's so many players these days that throw north of 90 miles an hour used to be the benchmark. If you threw 90 miles an hour, it was, you know, you were there. You were a prospect. Now it seems like that benchmark is 95 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum, and it's progressing for certain. You guys take some pretty interesting steps. If we look at the annual program in Vauxhall, I really like it. I like how you guys operate on an annual basis. I like the downtime that you guys have, and I also like how you go through the off season preparing for the season. Maybe just quickly run us through what your calendar looks like.
Yeah, the guys report right towards the end of August. We'll have our fall season. Every program has a fall, winter, and spring season / summer season. And we'll have our fall season, which will run the better part of 7 weeks. Our emphasis at that time is to just enable kids or allow kids to take their time adapting to being away from home. At the same time, take their time adapting to being on the field 6-7 days a week, which a lot of kids are not used to at that time. And it's the end of a long year, so we try to be very, very cautious with pitch counts, very, very cautious with playing time because they've had a long summer and a long spring the previous year. So we try to really limit that time in the fall. As we push to the end of the fall, which we're at now, we take a week and get away from on-field baseball, and we do a World Series. Right now we're doing a Wiffle Ball World Series. So something a little bit more fun. We give them a week off to play basketball or some volleyball, or just badminton, just play other sports. And then we start our winter training program, which is the most important time in our eyes, and that's trying to develop the athlete. Throw away the baseball component. We really break down into the strength and conditioning side, the movement side, the mental training, the vision program, and start 100% from November to February is all individual performance. And we try to individualize everybody's training program and figure out what they need to get to the next level, whatever that level may be. Some guys are trying to get to 82 miles an hour. Some guys are trying to get to 90 miles an hour. And whatever that their area is or their weaknesses, we really try to hammer on those. And we have a great staff that's involved in that wintertime on the strength and conditioning side with Kyle. Crusher, you've been involved since the beginning, and we have a mental coach in Josh Hoytmer. We have a therapist in Greg Morrison. So we, as well as our coaching staff of Jim Kokas and Joel Blake. So we're excited about it. And then once we hit the end of February, we have a big award scholarship fundraising banquet, which is more of a celebration of achievements over the previous year. We raise a ton of money that night, put a lot of time and effort into that night, and then we start playing outside. Our springtime is where we feel is the showcase time where kids showcase all the work that they put in over the winter. And we do a ton of tournaments. We go to Vegas or the Best of the West or the Okotoks tournament, or we host a tournament or the Prairie Baseball Academy. So we play till the end of May. And then again, in the month of June, we back off and we go back to individual development and spend all our time in the month of June not playing games, but individually developing them and trying to get back on track for their successful summer season. So it's a model that's always evolving and changing. And, this year we're going to welcome some three or four players from Japan and send a couple players to Japan to see how they train and bring some of their ideas over our way. So we're excited about it and, certainly trying to make the program better every year.
Fantastic. We're talking with Les McTavish, head coach and director of operations for the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball. Les, one last note. I think one of the things that speaks volumes and so, I guess, sort of really represents the success of this program is the return of alumni players. Every time that I'm down there, and especially during breaks or major events, we see athletes coming back, and not just last year's athletes, but athletes right from year number one. And I think that right there speaks volumes with the power of this program.
You know, it certainly does. You know, every year we have a ton of players. This past year being the pinnacle, it was our 10th year anniversary, and we did a lot of exciting things in and around the 10th year anniversary. And one was during the May long weekend, we had upwards of 50 players back, and there's, you know, which is basically a third of our program's history, came back to visit and see former billets or see the coaches or just connect. We have exciting things that we have planned over the next little while. We are creating some alumni networking site that our alumni are able to connect with each other, find out how they're doing, what they're, you know, where they're up to, maybe a resource for our players to reach out to certain players. Maybe it's about a job, but most importantly about colleges or their experiences in college or professional baseball or with Team Canada, and to try to allow and engage and enable our alumni to offer support, guidance, and assistance to our current athletes. So certainly the alumni could be the strength, and we hope to be the strength of our program moving forward. And we have some players that, former players that are spending a ton of time on it, in particular out of the Edmonton area. Stephen Inch is doing a ton of really good work with our alumni and leading the charge in multiple different areas.
Great, Les. Well, hey, listen, appreciate your time today. You guys have done a fantastic job down there, and we'll watch the progress with great interest. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Crusher. Appreciate all the support.
Okay, there you go. There is one great developmental performance culture that's creating unbelievable opportunity for the young players that attend. And we're seeing more and more of these academies pop up, but very few that are so serious about not just taking in players that are ready for this type of environment, but absolutely dedicated to helping them succeed and move on beyond the Vauxhall Academy. So fantastic stuff, and I've got to thank Les for that conversation. Coming up, we're going to stick to Canada, and we're going to take a look at a collegiate hockey team that went 36-0 last year. I don't care what level of competition you're competing at, to have an undefeated season is incredible, no matter what sport, no matter what level you're playing at. We're going to talk to the head coach of this team to find out what was so special about this group, but more importantly, what part of this culture and environment allowed this group to perform at such a high level throughout an entire hockey season, a collegiate hockey season, in the breadbasket of hockey, which is Alberta, Canada. Right after this on Crush Performance, stick around.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
All right, and welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. We are your weekly source for performance information. And today, we're talking exactly that. We're looking at performance environments, performance cultures. We're looking behind the scenes to see what makes them tick. And hey, listen, if you have a culture or a team that you know that might be in your community or that you're proud of, it could be a pro team, it could be a college team, a high school program, it may be an academy, or just a program that's been incredibly successful. Any organization that's outperformed the competition or maybe turned a corner from struggling, from mediocrity to, you know, continued success. Let us know. We want to get in touch with these programs. We want to get behind the scenes, find out what's making them tick. And today we're doing exactly that, coming off a great conversation with Les McTavish, the head coach at the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball in Alberta, Canada. Anytime you see a team that's outperforming the competition or an organization that's continually developing talent and creating opportunity for that young talent, it's something special. And there's something special going on behind the scenes. Yes, we know that people are priority number one when it comes to a performance culture, but you also have to have the environment that allows those people to succeed and continue to succeed. And that's kind of what we're talking about when we look at performance culture, what makes them tick. Well, we know it comes from the top down. Leadership, ownership, coaching, mentoring is incredibly important. And anytime you see an organization outperform the competition or turn a corner going from mediocrity to greatness, there's something going on behind the scenes. And we're joined now by Mike Gabonette, former head coach of the Nate Oakes Collegiate Hockey Team in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Mike is now the associate coach with Nebraska Omaha, where he played his collegiate hockey. The Nate Oakes went 36-0 last season. And to take us behind the scenes is their head coach. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, been pretty excited to have this conversation, especially when we look back at your year with the Nate Oakes last year. You guys went 36-0. Our conversation today, you know, we're looking at successful developmental programs and, you know, programs that have found a way to persevere and create success, not just for the individual athletes, but in a team setting as well. And Nate certainly was that. So, you know, when you look back to the start of that season last year, Mike, what was the mindset going into that season? Were the expectations, again, they're always high, but what were the expectations going in? Because, boy, 36-0, that's special.
Yeah, you know, it's always nice to reflect back on that season and the special group of first off players we had and staff we had. It was a pretty special time and always nice to reflect on that. And I think first off going into any season, I think as a head coach, you got to develop some time with your staff to kind of come over your vision for the season or your core values, whatever you want to call it. But I think we spent quite a bit of time in July and August kind of preparing for that. And that kind of will allow you to set up your foundation for your season. When things are going well or when things are tough, if you have those things in place early, I think that leads to success down the road.
Well, interesting. So when we look at that season, you guys obviously recruited. You knew you had a special team going in, but could you guys have ever imagined a 36-0 season?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, for the things that have to go right and to stay motivated and to win those close games, as we had quite a few down the stretch, a lot of things have to line up. And so we kind of focus on the process, as they say, and do the things we can. What were we doing this week better than last week? And what are we doing as individuals and as a program that's going to separate us from other individuals and other programs? And kind of took that day-to-day mindset in it and then hopefully just let the results take care of themselves.
So in the locker room, let's talk about this. You guys get off to a great start and you guys go, you know, 5-0, 6-0, 10-0. When did was there ever a time when the team started thinking about, holy cow, man, we got something special going on here? Did they use that to drive them forward? It obviously never became a point of concern or stress because, man, you guys flew through the season.
Yeah, you know, we never talked about it, to be honest. We never talked about it. So what I would try to do is kind of take, we had kind of seven core values that we referred to kind of day in and day out, and I'd kind of focus on one of those for that week. So we have a bit of a plan for that week. What are we trying to accomplish, you know? And then as long as you kind of have those small individual focuses, I think that allows you to keep on track and to keep focusing on our mindset and what we're doing today kind of thing and what we're doing the next day. And it kind of allows you to not get caught up in the big picture of things.
We're talking with Mike Gabonette, the associate head coach in Nebraska Omaha men's hockey team, a former head coach for the Nate Oakes in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Mike, let me talk about this. You know, we talk about team environments and the importance of the individuals. When you were recruiting, putting this team together, of course, I'm sure you looked at the individual players. But how important is it to address and look at each and every one of those players? Because everybody's going to contribute to the outcome in the end. And to create an environment where all players on a team, you know, can have success and contribute and you know, move forward in the right direction, that's a pretty special thing.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things that tie into that. First off, you got to establish a team-first mindset, I think, from the very beginning. So guys understand that's the culture they're coming into. That's the environment we expect. And second off, you got to recruit players and instill in players personal responsibility. I think if there's one thing I really like our players to take out of, you know, what they're learning from coaches and stuff is that personal responsibility. You know, you control how much you're getting better. You control what you do on the ice. You control what you do off the ice. You control your attitude. That's a choice that you make every day. And so the more and more we get guys to understand personal responsibility and take it upon themselves and commit to that, you know, that commitment turns to ownership once they take responsibility for it. And usually when that they start understanding that and they they take that ownership, it leads to a lot of good things happening for them and the team.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, if we look at the performance cultures or these, you know, great, epic, you know, organizations, you know, we could look at, you know, we talk about teams and organizations like Real Madrid or the 1990 Chicago Bulls. If we look back to, you know, incredible winning seasons, you look at the 1972 Dolphins, 17-0. To go 36-0 at the level of hockey you guys were playing, I'm telling you what, boy, oh boy, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. Very, very special. When that season came to an end, what was the mindset in that room? Do you guys sit there flabbergasted? Or I can't even imagine what it was like as a team to sit there and go, look at what happened.
Yeah, it's definitely a really high feeling, you know, just even as a staff and as the players. I mean, you're more excited for the players. I mean, they're the ones that are executing it on the daily basis and accomplish the goal in the long run. And as a staff, you know, the one thing we always talk about is we address it. It's not easy. It's not an easy feat to be good. You know, why are teams elite? Why are players elite? Well, it's not easy to get there. And so we talk about that. You know, if you want to be the best, you got to put the time in, you got to put the effort in, you got to establish your core values, you got to execute them on a daily basis. And it's not easy. And so I think when you do accomplish something like that, it's really important to reflect, celebrate, take some time off and enjoy it. Because as you said, the process isn't easy, so you better celebrate when it's time to celebrate.
You're right. Credit. Take the credit when you can get it, because when things aren't going well, you're going to get more credit than you want. Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, you come from a championship high-performance pedigree. Your grandfather, the great Claire Drake, must have been quite an influence on you. You know, this is the most successful inter-university coach of all time in men's hockey. In 28 years of coaching at the University of Alberta, 6 University Cup championships, 17 Canada West Conference championships. He went on, he coached the Edmonton Oilers in the WHL in 75 and 76, coached at the Olympic level. And interesting enough, here's something I found very interesting about Mr. Claire Drake, your grandfather. He's the only university coach to win a national championship in both hockey and football in the same year, 1967. That's a year before I was born. But I'm telling you what, here's a gentleman that really had an approach for development and building team unity like no other. There's a lot to learn from your grandfather. What kind of influence was he on you?
Definitely, you know, it's a privilege to grow up around people like that. You know, I'm really fortunate with my grandfather being a coach, my dad was a football coach, and so it's been kind of a very unique environment to grow up in, and I'm grateful for that. And the older I get and the more I get into coaching, you know, the more you realize what they were doing was special. It was, you know, Claire Drake, my grandson, and then Billy Morris, a longtime coach with him. And, you know, when you reflect back and you're listening to them talk and understanding what they were instilling in their teams back then, it's no surprise how successful they were. And if you look back at some of the coaches in that league too, I mean, you had Willie Desjardins and Dave King and all these teams, not like they were showing up against easy coaches. So again, it just reiterates some of that process that they were implementing back then and how successful it is. And a lot of that stuff hasn't changed. You know, a lot of things that we're still doing that they did back then.
Yeah, it doesn't change. Human development hasn't changed. We've just learned a little bit more. We're talking with Mike Gabonet, the associate head coach for Nebraska Omaha men's hockey team. Well, Mike, you played there. So this is an interesting transition, going from the great program and the great season at Nate in Edmonton to Nebraska Omaha. This is a great opportunity, an exciting time there. Maybe tell us a bit about the program there.
Yeah, you know what? It's a great program. We play in the NCHC Conference, which right now is arguably the top college conference in college hockey, with North Dakota, Minnesota, Duluth, Denver, St. Cloud. I think they're all in the top 5 right now in the country. And so it's a very good conference for us. As we were talking about before we got on air here, we just built a brand new arena, 8,000-seat arena right on campus with the practice rink connected to it. So this morning, actually, I was just out with the guys working on special teams, working on our power play this morning. We had one group go at 7, one group go at 8. So I have the ability to be on the practice rink early in the morning and spend time with guys. Really, there's no excuse why we can't develop guys and get them to their potential here. So it's really exciting to be a part of that. Really enjoy the city of Omaha. Got my family down here, and having played here, familiar with the city a little bit and some of the alumni around town. So really excited about the opportunity to grow here for the program.
Well, Mike, you know, we talk about successful organizations and that success comes from the top down. Expectations go up and they go both ways, but it's really the leadership. Again, you know, we look back at some of the great successful organizations in history, great coaching, great ownership, great leadership, and making the transition into this new team. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how transferable, you know, the principles that you used at Nate to build that great program can be implemented here in Nebraska. What's your approach right now in your first year getting into the program and building it with the exciting time? New facilities and new commitment, and of course, a great league of competition there.
Absolutely. You know, I think my first approach is just to build a relationship with the players. I think no one knows how much you know until they know how much you care. And so, first off, especially not being the head coach, being the associate head coach, just building that relationship with the players and then looking to support the head coach any way I can. And like you said, I believe that it's got to come from the top down. You know, your visions or your expectations or whatever you want to call it has to come from the top down, and then eventually instill that in your players through your leadership group, and do that through one-on-one meetings and constant clear communication. And then hopefully eventually they kind of take ownership of that and they start reiterating what you're saying, and then eventually becomes their kind of team and you're there to guide them, keep them on track, and keep them, holding them accountable to those expectations. So right now I'm just really enjoying the process of helping out however I can and be ready to take ownership of anything that you get control of. So right now I got the power play, so just be prepared to take ownership of that and my personal responsibility, and just keep on working, keep on learning, keep on growing, and really looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, it's interesting to note too, Mike, you know, coming from the Canadian sporting environment, especially at the college level, to anything that happens in the U.S., it is crazy down there. You mentioned you guys are getting about 8,000 people per game in Omaha. You guys are the big draw when it comes to the winter sports there for sure. But maybe just talk to us about the difference between the Canadian college sports scene and the U.S. college sports scene. Because when you look at teams like, you know, some of the successful football teams in the U.S., I mean, if you look at University of Alabama, they've got 9 championships, but they generated $95 million in revenue last year. It is big business down in the States when we look at college sports.
Yeah, you know, it's just a great, I think it, I enjoy having played down here and having seen the guys support the community where they went to school and getting a ton of people out, and people are walking around town wearing your, you know, your symbol of your team. I love it. You know, I think it's great. I think it's good for the community to have an event to go to. I think it's good for the young kids in the city to get to go cheer for a team that promotes education and athletics, and so it's all good, and I think, you know, we have such good talent in Canadian schools, and hopefully if we got a little more community support, I know the pro teams are the big draw, but hopefully we can keep, you know, we got the great program, the University of Alberta Golden Bears hockey program is a very good, you know, they'd compete with any team down here, and it's such a good level of hockey, so, you know, I'd love to see continued support for those guys and get more people out to the games for sure.
Mike, just great stuff. Listen, thanks for taking us behind the scenes of that incredible season last year and giving us some insights into how you built that environment that allowed that team to perform the way it did. Just fantastic stuff. And good luck this year as your season gets underway. We'll be watching with interest.
Thanks, Jeff. I always enjoy your show. Thank you.
Well, there you go, everybody. A collegiate hockey team going 36-0. I don't care what level of sport you're at. I don't care what sport it is, going undefeated in a competitive season is incredible. A collegiate season makes it even more exciting, and wow, getting a look behind the scenes is pretty special. So that's our time for today. I want to thank Les McTavish, the head coach for the Vauxhall Academy of Baseball, Mike Gabinet, of course, associate coach at Nebraska Omaha men's hockey team. And coming up in the next few weeks, we will continue our look into performance cultures. If you know of a team or an organization that's outperforming the competition, turn the corner, or just doing a fantastic job in creating opportunity for young athletes, let us know. We want to look into them. We want to contact them and find out what's making them tick. Coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to look back on the Major League Baseball season. We're going to look at the storylines and what happened within that season. And we're going to get ready for this offseason, because I'm telling right now, the game never ends. This is a game within the game when we head into the offseason, and we'll also air our next Crush War on Sugar. That's all coming up in the next few weeks on Crush Performance. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, we're here to help you think like an athlete.